Happy June 16th, everybody. 2020, June 16th. My name's Larry Jacobs. Kind of an abrupt ending to the music there. I'll get the hang of it eventually. All right, welcome to today's edition of Education Talk Radio. Thanks for being here with us. Perhaps you're listening on the archives. I'll say it again. We archive every show at our website, education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio, one word, .org. And we tweet over to EduTalk Radio and Facebook at EduTalk Radio and Larry Jacobs and LinkedIn at Larry Jacobs. And if you want to friend us or follow us or link with us or anything like that, we'll send you an update on every show as we do it. If you want to get over there, we also are very proud of our other website. Our guest today, Cosin, has written for us in there. Okay, the Consortium of School Networking. That's ace-ed.org, which is now the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Note the acronym ACE-ED, American Consortium for Equity-ED in Education. Okay, and we invite you to go over there and join with us. It's free to all educators and anybody involved in education. And it's a place where your voice can be heard about equity and access in schools. We publish our magazine over there. It's an online journal called AC&E, also subtitled Equity and Access Pre-K-12. That gives you a free subscription. We're happy to send it to you. It's, of course, it's available to you on the website, ace-ed.org. Whatever you want to go over there. We are doing great things in a world of equity, and it's so important these days, more important than ever, as we all know, and as we have all learned with the pandemic, et cetera. And I'll segue into today's show, okay, using ace-ed.org as that segue. We've got a show with Cosin today, and that's the Consortium of School Networking. And networking and educational technology in terms of remote learning has obviously taken the forefront out there. Okay, then we've got the equity challenge, the accessibility challenge, et cetera. Cosin's on top of that. And that's our guest today, the Consortium of School Networking. Let me bring on my guests. We've got Keith Kruger, Pete Crociera, and Sean Casey in just a second. I'm having trouble here bringing this on. Let me just do this here to do. And I think we've got it now. Yes, we do. Keith, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Keith, welcome to the good morning to you, my friend. It's been too long.
It has.
Yeah, it's
been
ridiculous.
I've been listening to you all along.
Have you? Thank you very much. There'll be a short quiz later. Please clear your desk. Okay, we'll find out how well you're doing. By the way, clear your desk is the stupidest thing teachers ever said in their lives. There's not a single person in the world of work who says, I want a complete marketing plan for next year. Clear your desk. Nobody does that. So we got to really seriously talk about that. All right. Pete, are you there?
Hey, good morning, Larry. I'm here.
Good morning, Pete. Senior Manager, Education Strategy and Transformation over at CDWG. Stop howling, Keith. How many times have I told you? Stop barking. Whose dog is that? Is that Sean's dog? It's okay. Dogs are welcome. Pete, is it Pete's dog or Sean's dog? Whose dog?
Sean's dog.
Not my dog.
Who then is the culprit?
I have cats.
Good morning.
Pete, is it you?
Nope. I think it was Sean's dog.
It sure was. Sean and Sean's dog chiming in to help this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean Casey from EdFi Alliance. What's your dog's name? Dogs are welcome, by the way. Don't worry about it.
This is Poppy, short for popcorn, and popping off at people walking by the house, which is what he was just demonstrating.
That's perfectly right. That's what he's paid to do. Okay, that's what popcorn is paid to do. All right, so it's good. Give him a cookie. Tell him he's always welcome here on Education Talk Radio. We have many dog followers. Let me get back to Pete for a second. CDWG. Okay, tell us what you do over there, oh mighty Senior Manager of Education Strategy and Transformation. Pete Crociera, everybody.
So, yeah, I've got a team of educators and experts, and we work directly with our customers and then also with our the technology partners. Basically, to bring together solutions for schools, and we do a lot of planning, looking kind of 1 to 3 years out into the future, following trends in both consumer technology, enterprise technology, and bringing together solutions that work for schools.
Cool. That's terrific. And of course, you're a worthwhile and welcome sponsor of Cosin, and I know that Keith, am I right? You guys appreciate that,
yes,
and EdFi, right?
We sure do.
You know, it's good stuff. And thank you guys for doing that, because by doing that, you're actually supporting what I stand for is equity and access by making sure that every kid, at least we're trying, every kid gets it. So, Pete, that is just terrific. And it's CDWG.com.
That's right.
And I want to ask you a question. What does that stand for? CDW-G.
the official answer is it doesn't stand for anything anymore. But way, way back when the company was founded in like 1984, it was Computer Discount Warehouse. And the G is for government,
wow.
Our government sector, yeah.
I'll be doing that. Well, you just actually did explain it. It doesn't mean anything anymore, but that's, wow, really?
Yeah, it doesn't really talk anymore.
Yeah, they stuck with it. What can I tell you? I never knew that, so thank you. I thought it was something like central data of the world.
Right. I'm sure our marketing team has thought up some new interpretations of it, but yeah, that's right. What it originally came from.
Can't do work. Goodness gracious. CDWG. No, that's not it either. Okay. We'll just go there. Sean, tell us about the you're the manager of strategic partnerships for the EdFi Alliance. I'll be easier on you. You two guys are a sponsor of COSIN. And again, everybody, thanks you for the good work they do. What does EdFi Alliance do? I'll be easier on you.
You know, people who say they're going to be easier on you usually aren't in the long run.
I will be. I promise. I'll be good. I promise.
No, good morning. Glad to be here. So we're a big community of local school districts, local education agencies, state education agencies, higher ed, and vendor solution providers, all focused on interoperable data. So school systems tend to have all of this data that is pocketed in a bunch of different systems, and we provide the data standards and the API-type technologies and tooling and supports to basically utilize that data and extract the most value out of it by getting it to flow in real time bidirectionally across all of the systems that school districts have in order to impact learning for all learners to that equity and access point that you described earlier.
That's pretty cool. So, thank you. That's good stuff. And boy, I'll tell you, the data is so important these days. And the more people I talk to, and this didn't happen before, but it's I hear it now all the time. Okay, that they're really depending and knowing how to use data. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So boy, that's great. That's great that you're doing that. And that's so, Keith. I mean, 5-6 years ago, Pete, the word data was okay, but nobody knew how to read it. Now suddenly we do. It's good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I'm glad we're learning. This is all great stuff. And again, thank you guys, both of you, Sean and Pete, and your companies. Yeah, okay, for supporting COSIN and the good work they do. And boy, do they do good work. And speaking of that, Keith, let me swing back. What's new over there at COSIN now that we're, 15 weeks into the pandemic era?
Yeah. Well, a lot. And we'll be talking about some of the findings. But, you know, this survey that EdFi and CDWG helped support, we started not quite a decade ago and started off with an infrastructure survey. We actually called it an E-rate survey the first few years to inform the Federal Communications Commission. And we realized not all the questions fit well, so we started a second survey called Leadership. This year we decided, you know, we're over-surveying our members, and we want to, there's really a lot of overlap because this all kind of fits together. So with the help of CDWG and EdFi, along with our other partners, we work with the Superintendents Association to get the word out. We work with Forecast 5 Analytics and MDR to make sure what we're collecting, we actually can analyze the data. As you just pointed out, the data is kind of critical. So,
right.
So we're pretty excited about it.
And, you know, of all the crazy questions, okay, there is some good coming out of this pandemic horror, okay? And has it been people are doing what you did, kind of they're coordinating things a little better. It's forcing people to relook at things, okay, and focus in. Are you finding that it actually might be easier right now to get the word out?
I think that there is a lot of movement, a lot of change. We can pivot forward, we can pivot back, but this particular survey was completed in January, so the results are not about the pandemic. However, later in the call, if you'd like, we are tomorrow going to release a new short survey, not as comprehensive as this, specifically about COVID, and I can talk about that in a little as we talk about new resources that are coming and give you a sneak preview because it's not public yet, but today your Ed Talk Radio folks can hear that. But I think
breaking
there are some
news.
High level.
Yep.
Yeah. But I think this survey still is really useful in kind of giving us longitudinal data about the priorities of ed tech leaders. And we ask that one person, whoever the lead is for technology, we use the generic term chief technology officer, but they have lots of different titles. And so we've been asking, what's your top priority for a number of years? And actually the last 2 or 3 years, the answer has been very clear. And that's cybersecurity for our
audience. Just going to say, I remembered that. I remember that. I could clear my desk and pass the quiz because I do remember that. Actually, I'm going to ask you, go down some of the other findings. And then what I want you to do, and actually let's involve the guys as well too, Pete and Sean. But what I want to do, as you did your second survey, and again, we don't want to give it, we want to keep the suspense going for tomorrow. But obviously, have things changed? I should have suspenseful music going on. Have things kind of changed in terms of priority for what you learned in this one to what's happened during pandemic? So Keith, go ahead and please include the guys in there.
Yeah, well, I think that we've, even in this survey, pre-COVID, we found that 96% of district technology leaders were saying that digital equity was a priority. We'll have a little bit more data about how that's shifted, though, in terms of obviously, we were thinking about, the chasm, not just the digital divide, but the chasm of home access has, I think, become more clear, and we'll have some data on that. I guess the kind of other bucket of trends that we see is really around that human capacity of technology leadership. And, a lot of times, people have perceptions that, the people in charge of technology, they're just gearheads. But in fact, this has been
hardly.
3/4 of them are overseeing both educational and administrative.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't argue that in a minute. Anybody who has another perception of what a CTO is like in today's education world is totally wrong. They are not gearheads. They are gearheads. But they're also educators, okay? And that is a key thing, and they are the best of the melding of the two, I got to tell you. You mentioned the word, and it's near and dear to me with our consortium. Keith, what about the digital equity? What did you learn on that?
Yeah, well, it definitely there is widespread agreement among
Keith? Hello? Keith?
Uh-oh.
Hey, why don't I dial back in?
Wait, there Keith, can you hear me?
I can.
Guys?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear
okay.
me?
This is Sean. I can hear everyone.
I can hear. Can anybody hear Larry?
Yep. Yes, Sean can.
Got you, Larry.
Okay, good. Keith, I don't know what happened, but please go ahead. Talk about digital equity. I have no idea where that blank is.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Great.
Go ahead. What's going on?
The top
right.
priority for that. Yeah.
Can anybody hear me?
Yep. I've got
sure can.
Okay.
Yep,
just
same here, Sean.
There he's back. Okay. Keith just dropped.
Sounds like it's Keith.
I don't know what's going on. My board is reading like everybody can hear everybody, but obviously that's not correct. So let me get over this. Pete, you're okay?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay, Sean, you okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, don't call me sir, so you must be okay. Call me Larry. Okay? So let's talk. Something happened with Keith's line. He has dropped off. Hopefully he'll call right back in. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to start with Sean. Since we were talking about digital equity, go back to there's Keith in a second. Hold on, let me bring him back on, but I'm going to follow up on my question here. Keith, are you okay? You there?
I am. I've called back on my landline. I clearly have bad cell phone reception at home. Sorry about that.
They told me you weren't up to date on the bill. That was so I was worried about that. So I'm glad that happened. Okay. I'm glad we're all here again now. I have no idea what went on. All of a sudden, I just lost Keith and couldn't tell if anybody was hearing me or not, but the board was reading properly. Keith, talk about digital equity, which is where you were when we lost you.
Yeah. Well, I think every year in our survey, the concern around digital equity has grown. I think we also realized since March that it's not just about at school, but it's not just a digital divide, but a digital chasm at home. And unfortunately, with remote learning, that's not an option. And so, this has been a concern for the COSIN membership. It's been growing, and I think it's off the charts as a concern. It is, since COVID.
Yeah, it's just my standing line is we kicked the can down the road for so long, and we finally got to the end of the road, and there was a cliff at the end, and we all fell off.
Yeah.
Okay? That's my analogy of what happened, which was frighteningly bad considering what all we know. This is interesting, and it's top of mind for CTOs, as the report says. So let me swing over to Pete and Sean. Pete, you're at CDWG, okay? You know this now, and you probably known this for a while. Now we have the data behind it. Digital equity is a real challenge out there, and so is cybersecurity. Now you have this information, okay? You're a senior manager of educational strategy, and I'm asking this quite seriously. What do you do with that kind of information as a company?
Yeah, this is something, I mean, we've been tracking. Let me just address the kind of access to devices, which represents the largest amount of work that we do with districts across the country.
Mm-hmm.
We started back in 2013 when I started the team I lead now. The U.S. was at about, according to the best estimates we have, about 24%. In terms of if you take the number of devices deployed in schools over the number of teachers and students, so about 24% access. Coming into 2020, at the end of 2019, the best estimates we have is we were about 60%. So there was enormous growth from 2013 to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the COSIN surveys over the years, a lot of middle and high schools, the respondents indicated year over year that they were getting more and more comfortable with where they were in terms of access to devices in middle and high schools. But there was still the latest survey, only 43% of elementary schools reported having a complete one-to-one program. So then
where did the divide
the pandemic happened. Yeah. So people were feeling good about middle and high school, still not to say there wasn't a gap, there's still a gap there, but even larger in elementary schools. So then the pandemic happens, you've got this massive need all of a sudden to have nearly 100% coverage, and it happens to everybody at the same time. I think we see in our work, one of the first things we do as a company is go out and start to secure devices to for schools, and we think based on the activity, we're going to see a jump from that 60% we were at at the end of 2019 to nearly 70%. Still a significant gap. Yeah.
Yeah, that's 30% of 30% do not have. 70% have is great, okay? But 30% don't have is very bad when you say it that way.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
And you recognize. So what, let me ask again. Then I'm going to ask Sean the same thing. When you know this, okay, how did CDW get involved in this? What can you do? And I know you guys are so very much concerned about this. When your team gets together and learns this information, what's the next step?
The first step is understanding the scenarios that schools are going to be facing. So like I said, I've got a team of educators. Most of them have joined our team directly from district leadership positions. And then I've got a team of technologists. So we basically get them together, not in a room, but virtually now. And they think through, all right, what are the scenarios that schools are going to face? And then looking at our portfolio of technology, which encompasses thousands of partners, but very few, and some key strategic partners like Google, Microsoft, et cetera. We look at, all right, what is the best, the most cost effective, knowing schools are always facing, budget resource constraints. What is the most efficient, the most cost effective package of technology we can get? And then the next step is, can we get it when we look at the supply chain? When we find those solutions, we bring them in and get the word out to schools on how to deploy.
And our schools, okay, and I'm just curious because you're such a key member of the COSIN team, so to speak, CDW, okay. Are schools receptive to this now? Okay, are they when your gang calls them or writes them or whatever? Are they receptive to this? I would think they are. But I just want to hear it from you. They must be anxious to hear this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are privileged to have fantastic relationships with schools. We've got over 400 people dedicated that work on just education every day.
Wow.
Some of our account managers have relationships with IT leaders that go back 10 years. So when the pandemic hit, people called people they trusted, and with many districts, that was their CDW account manager.
Nice.
That was one of those first calls, and that's when we jump into action for them.
That's cool. Are you busy now? You must be so busy right now.
Very, very busy. Yep.
Very busy.
Between
right.
We're kind of, if you think of it in three phases, we've got the emergency, what I call emergency remote learning, because it was by no means an orderly rollout of remote learning.
Yeah.
Emergency remote learning. And then now, as the disasters start to settle, now there's this period of trying to get control back, address cybersecurity, address, the student and teacher experience and try to get that in a better state and think about reopening. And there's some new technologies that go along with that. But still, so much work just to be done in some of the core areas that COSIN survey addresses, like cybersecurity, equity of access.
Yeah, and that what's key is that you take that data and work with it to make changes, okay, and bring those changes, that information, those products, et cetera, to the school districts. But I'm going to throw it to you, Sean, then we'll get back to Keith. But, Sean, when you get data like this, digital equity, cybersecurity, et cetera, what does your team do? How do they get that information out? What's the first step?
The Sean team, you bet. No, I think you hit it on the head. And, what we've seen with our community and what we do is start in listening mode, right? And I think Pete described something similar, is really understand what are those pain points, both the now pain points that folks experienced with this rapid pivot to remote learning, seemingly overnight, right? A lot of districts were on spring break and immediately transitioned to this right afterwards. But also the later pain points, like, oh my gosh, what does back to school look like? And we still don't have a lot of guidance from our state on what that is. And we've got all these contingency plans that are in various states of development. And so the thing that we've seen, and I'm going to springboard off of what Pete described, is so districts did a masterful job, right? Heroic efforts on these rapid deployments.
You got it.
Oh, amazing. I mean, like lots and lots of friends across the field. Our community is very close knit. really, really heroic measures to turn on a dime, get devices provisioned, get hotspots out there, work with partners, all of these sorts of like turning yourself into a logistics organization very, very quickly. But what we've seen is, and this is probably not a big surprise to anybody on this call, is there's, like anything else with technology, there is a maturity model that emerges. And it turns out, this is going to be a shocking statement, everybody on this call, I'm sure, that having devices, having technology, having connectivity is not the same thing as using it well or making an impact on learning outcomes or making sure that you're serving all kids regardless of their situation, regardless of their needs, and those sorts of things, especially when we start talking about special populations and things like that. And so from our perspective, the part of this that we try to tackle is the data piece. The interoperable data is what gives you that kind of surgical glimpse, the transparency into what's making an impact. And what that means in this context, just to tighten it up a little bit from what Pete said, is okay, you've got all these things provisioned, right? You've got new LMSs, you've got Chromebooks, you've got hotspots, all of those sorts of things. Do kids, first of all, in these households that are experiencing lots of really significant impacts from COVID, is there job loss? Is there housing instability? Yep. Were some of those kids free and reduced lunch kids at school? Yeah, exactly. And until you know those kinds of things, which is now we're talking about sort of well-checked survey type data, you have to be able to empower the educator who's on the front lines with those learners and with those households to have the information that they need to be able to know, is that student, is that learner able to engage? Right? Have we removed blockers that the district's able to remove, which in a lot of cases the districts can if they know about it. They've got to have insight into what those households and learners need. And then you can start getting into these new kinds of measures for, hey, we're not taking attendance based on who's sitting in a seat anymore. Now it kind of looks like the proxy is student engagement and participation. And we haven't ever defined that before. How do we define it? And our you know, fundamental kind of tenet to answering those questions is data. You've got to have better and more comprehensive data, and more real time and more multiple measures based data. And that can't be the blocker. That's what gives you the insight to be able to define these things. So that's what we've been working on with our field, with our community.
It's really cool. That was a great overview, Sean, I got to tell you. And people can go to ed-fi.org. Okay, that's the EdFi Alliance. And can anyone go over there and get the information, Sean? Like a school district,
of course.
We're talking to teachers here and all that.
We have, yes, of course. In fact, we would love it because this is very much a power in numbers kind of effect here. It's a multiplier effect. The more folks that we get participating, whether you are a school district or a charter or a state department of ed or a higher ed institution or like in Pete's case, a vendor or provider or somebody who works with a lot of them, this is for everyone's use. We're a nonprofit. We're a part of the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation. And so this whole initiative is basically just to unlock data interoperability, the value of your data for everybody in the field. So yes, we'd love it if you'd go to edfi.org. And a quick place to start is under the latest tab. And that's where you'll get some of the COVID response initiatives, folks in the field who are sharing their approaches that might be useful for others, and sign up for kind of a rich, steady source of news from our community.
It's so darn important right now. It really is. And you use the word, I'm going to use the word vendor to describe CDW, and I'm going to change that word to partner. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things we're trying to do with our consortium. Okay. I've been in the industry a long time now. Keith remembers me when I was just a little baby coming into the industry, but now I'm a big boy. Okay. And, you know, I have learned over the course of time, and this is one of the reasons we're doing this at our consortium over at ACE-ED. We want industry voice out there because the industry is a partner in education. People too often think of the industry as the salesperson who comes to the school. No. The industry puts a lot of thought into everything they do. 400 people working with Pete Gang, okay, on education strategy and transformation to bring that to schools, Okay, so I want people to understand that the education industry, when they visit you, they are your partner. Okay, and they may be trying to sell you something, that's fine too. Okay, but believe me, they have put a lot of thought and effort. Okay, and if they haven't, throw them out. But if you're working with CVW, you know they have. Okay, it's that simple. They are your partner in there. Okay, is that good, Pete? Is that good? Am I right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I appreciate that. Yeah. We have to earn it every day, but yeah, that's what we strive for.
You do. Okay, and that's why I'm thrilled that you guys are here with us today. Keith, digital equity and cybersecurity, what else popped in the survey? Keith Krueger, the executive director of COSIN. CEO.
Well, I think the other thing that, it is a leadership survey, so we always look at kind of both what we're doing right and areas to improve. And I think the moment we're realizing, our audience is not very diverse. And in fact, racially and ethnicity, it's a huge problem. And I know COSIN is kind of leaning into what can we do to help districts get a more diverse workforce. And that includes gender also. Unfortunately, as we've tracked this longitudinally, we're seeing fewer women, a declining number. Actually, ed tech women do better than other tech sectors because they're more prevalent in education. However, as this position of chief technology officer becomes elevated, we're seeing backslide in terms of gender. Yeah, so there's a lot of work to do for our community in building that, and I think this moment, our national kind of dialogue around race and systemic racism and other isms, we need as a professional association to really lean into how do we really embrace diversity and support diverse values, people, and make it representative of our student population. So.
Hear. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm sorry to hear that because I know that the women you bring on, okay, the female leaders of educational technology, okay, just an example, what you at COSIN work with, are wonderful, and they're so talented, et cetera. I'm sad to hear that there's a little backslide.
And they're about a third of our audience, so it's much stronger than other IT sectors where, we've seen a lot of reports about, Silicon Valley having, less than 10%. But it's not good enough given where our sector is and that we want to lead. So we can do better, and we've seen as the position has increased in salary and authority and responsibility that it isn't commensurate on gender.
Oh, geez. So let me ask you, knowing that piece of data, what do you do about that? And I know you're
hard-held about it.
We did
our virtual conference, and we did two sessions. One was on making a Technicolor IT staff. And another was on gender and how you support women. And we've pushed that out to all members, whether they attended our conference or not, and said, as you're thinking about society as a whole, let's think locally about what you can do in your own team, in your own school district. Because we can put out wonderful big proclamations about changing the world, but it starts with us individually, and it starts in our own backyard. So let's get started.
Yeah, I hear. And I hope that works. And I hope we can take the students now, okay, in K-12 in particular, as particularly females, particularly people of color. They all love computers just like every kid does, okay, although we always have the challenge with the young ladies, but we want to change that and really encourage them. And this is a side of education they may be taking for granted. Okay, it's just part of education, which what educational technology is. But there's a whole career move out there. Okay, we need you to come into the career as a leader. Okay, and let's get that across to the kids. I hope people are listening to that, and they can certainly understand that. It's really just so – well, thank you for bringing that up, Keith. That kind of surprised me, and I'm really thrilled that you brought that up and are doing something about it, okay? It's just incredible. What is that the thing that you took most – I don't want to say – is that the thing that stood out to you the most in the survey?
Well, you know, I think that is one of the big things, along with cybersecurity and the digital equity, is sort of the human capacity and how we need to grow it into a much more diverse and representative audience. So, I mentioned, Larry, that we had just done this very quick survey of our members, and we're just about and people who attended our conference, and we're going to release it tomorrow because the survey we've been talking about. Came up, the data was from January. So we wanted to know what's changed and how are people preparing for back to school and how is it going to affect budgets. And so,
let me just say one thing. We still need more ladies and more people of color in ed tech. That hasn't changed. Now go. Yes, now go.
Yeah. Well, so 42% of our respondents predict a decrease in their school's IT budget for this coming year. And including. A 30% saying they're going to decrease professional development, which is problematic because, as we've already discussed, if people have access, if they don't know how to use it well, that's going to be problematic. And I think, we started the conversation talking about digital equity. Well, it's pretty clear in the pandemic that remote learning is essential. And we asked, 87% said that off-campus internet connectivity is an urgent problem that has to be solved. And, in fact, we drove in even more on the E-rate, which is, of course, the biggest funding source for school districts. And 90% said they think that the FCC's E-rate program should support home connectivity and devices for students. And 86% highlighted the importance of adding to E-rate to cover cybersecurity. So that's, I think there's overwhelming consensus, and the ball is in Congress's court right now. They need to pass another stimulus, and it needs to address the homework gap. So that's definitely, and then just in as we're, how is our audience thinking that things will look like? Only seven, this fall when we return to school, whatever that looks like, only 7%, we gave them a number of scenarios, and only 7% said they expect their district to return to the pre-pandemic situation, while half said they expect remote instruction to replace at least a few on-site classes. So, I think people are struggling to know exactly what the fall will look like. But
yeah, they
the
are.
World
they are.
Has shifted. The world has
they
shifted.
Are. And I think it was Sean who said this. I'm not sure whichever one. The school districts, all the people involved, from teachers to superintendents, are really heroes for what they have done. We did not shut down. Education did not shut down. We did our damnedest, and it worked okay. For having no warning, it worked okay. We all know it can be better. We all know it's challenging. We all know it's chaotic. Okay? We all know how hard it is to have kids at home and work at home and do all the things. We know how hard it is that some kids don't even have access, but damn it, we tried. And we didn't do bad with no warning. Now we've got the warning. The canary has dropped dead in the cage. Okay? The coal mine, evacuate. Okay? Or fix it up. All right? And we better get that together. And it's heartbreaking that they're thinking now there's going to be less dollars in school budgets. That's where the feds have to really step up. And they haven't been doing enough talking about education. They have not been doing enough talking about that. Okay? And I hope that we all get the word out there. It's just frightening. We really got to take care of ourselves out there. And everybody's going to shift. Okay? CDW is going to shift. Okay. EdFi is going to shift. They're going to get this information out there and get the right products out there to everybody. Keith, you guys always do such great work over there. And we want to get your column. You missed this issue of AC&E. We want to get you back in for next one. Okay.
Okay. Oh, and I have to thank the Juniper Networks is helping make this new other survey that we'll release tomorrow possible.
Say it again. Who?
Juniper Networks.
They deserve some credit. Juniper Networks, everybody. Okay. And if you want, Keith, we can set up a show and talk about it if you want to. Okay.
Great. Perfect.
All right. So I'll let you know on that. Okay. Thank you all. Sean, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You're more than welcome. Pete, thank you. Keep up the good work over there, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay, it's a pleasure. And the one and only Keith Krueger, everybody, CEO of COSIN. If you don't know about COSIN, it's COSIN.org, and you better know. He's one hell of a guy. You really are. And stay safe, okay, down there in D.C. It's it's weird down there these days, okay? By the way, how are things? Everything good?
Everything's
in D.C.,
good.
Out your window? Good.
You know,
good.
I
That's
think
great.
There's a good changes in the air.
Yeah, it is, and change is always, it might be tough, but it's always good. Kids cry when they get their diapers changed, but they're always happy when it's over. I rest my case. Okay, the time has come. Thank you, gentlemen. All of you, stay safe, please. I'll be in touch. Thanks, guys.
Be well.
Bye now. Okay,
you too. Bye-bye. Okay, COSIN.org, please check out the wonderful work they do. Learn from their surveys, etc. Pete over at CDW. Dash G, okay, but it's CDWGNoDash.com. You should learn more over there. Pete Koshera and Sean Casey. And this is, you should learn the ED-FI.org, the EDFI.org, the EDFI Alliance. And please go over, check out. I hate to give you all these websites. It's ace-ed.org. Join our consortium. It's free. We want your voice out there. All right. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Everybody, too. Stay safe. Well, I'm Larry Jacobs.